Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds, yeah, all proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference, just like Pertec does. The great ones, they're different. They really are. Not better, just different. Sure, there's a physical power, a mental strength, a complex but resolute constitution too. There's a whole lot more than just the measurables. That's something else, that intangible. It separates us from them. Welcome to the Legend Series on Andy Raymond Unfiltered. People don't get any better than this guy. I've met them all, and few come close to this genuine article. Unique, honest, loyal, a bloody beauty, and magical on the field. So magical. But who is Matty Bowen?
Who is Matt Bowen? Obviously, mate, I think a lot of people know I'm from the community, and didn't grow up with a lot of things we had in the community, mate. I didn't play in a team sport not until I was 12 and I went to high school. So I don't think not many people know that. I think always loved the game of rugby league. I was Broncos, and wanted to play for the Broncos because it was the closest team to home. And but mate, obviously I'm a father of four now, and yeah, I just love being a dad, mate. My kids are heavy into sport. I'm not going to push them to any particular sport. I'm just going to, guide them through and whatnot. But they play basketball, they play league, they play AFL and touch, football. And I'm just enjoying the ride at the moment. And the kids are enjoying it, mate. So, taking me to different sports and different things. So, yeah, it's been good.
And they're four good-looking little kids too and beautifully mannered. Go north when you get to Cape Tribulation. Keep going north when you go to Cooktown. Tell us about the old stomping ground. You mentioned and said it's a community. It's termed an Aboriginal Shire. What is that for those of us that aren't actually aware? What is a community or an Aboriginal Shire?
Just Aboriginal, obviously, Hopewell Aboriginal community. I think, I went to school there from grade one to grade six, and, there's not much there. There's about 800 people. And
All Aboriginal?
All Aboriginal. Yeah, we have obviously workers that come through and contractors and come through from Cairns or Cooktown, and just a little community, mate. I think I'm related to 800 of them, but yeah, it is a family, sort of community, and sort of hid away up north, and 20 minutes, north of Cooktown, and not far from the beach, mate. So we love we love hunting and love, fishing and all that stuff. So
good memories or not so good memories from growing up,
mate? Good memories, definitely good memories. I think every chance I had when I was playing for the Cows, I'd duck home and see mum and dad, see the grandparents, and but now that I have kids, every chance I get now, I'll go home and see mum and dad, and trying to give the kids that what I had growing up, and just the little things, mate. You're away from the mobile phones, away from the internet, just out out all day. I think the kids, when we go home now, they, you know, get up of a morning, dad's on the quad bike and on the motorbikes or on the four wheelers, and made the kids get up and don't have breakfast and come home when they're hungry. So it is that stuff when we were growing up, and, you know, you take it for granted. You obviously, yeah. You know, so it's been good for me growing up, and no doubt hopefully my kids can get a taste of it.
You mentioned kids already a couple of times. Even now, I have a feeling within you, it's your role to help and show kids in Hope Vale, but in other places, similar communities, that you can achieve what you want. Firstly, by making the right decisions. It's like, you know, you can make a difference.
Definitely, mate. I always have that chance to, you know, when we get home, I try and encourage those kids. I've been in the same classroom as you guys, and there's no reason why you can't, you know, explore a life outside the community. And if I can do it, no doubt you can as well. So, you know, just the little things of eating healthy and, you know, staying respectful to your elders. And
yep.
And that's the stuff that I try to teach my kids and when I go back in the community. So, mate, there's a lot of talented kids out there, and, you know, there's just having that opportunity to get out and, you know, explore the world and see what's out there for them. So when I go home and, you know, I try to – the importance of that message, and, you know, getting education is the key, and you know, just sort of, you know, rugby league took me everywhere. So,
yep.
You know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be out of the community and see different. You know, I went to Wigan, I've been to Manchester, I've been to London, and Serbia and whatnot, and all because of rugby league, and I had the chance to get out of there.
The term role model, not everyone is, not every footy player is. You are. What does that responsibility mean to you, really? It's more important than any role you played on a field.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, kids look up both on and off the field, and they see, you know, you may not see that they are looking, but they are, you know, yeah. Sort of looking at what their play they grew up watching, and what are they doing, and what's the good traits and bad traits. And, you know, a lot of kids take notice, so... You know, being that role model, and that's someone that they really, really care about. They, you know, them, and what we think, and I think it is a bit of a pill to swallow. But, you know, when you have that tag beside your name that you're a role model, it's, you know, you have to live up to it. So,
is it uncomfortable at times?
At times, it can be, mate. I think it is uncomfortable, but I think it's great. At the same time,
yeah.
I think, you know, you get kids looking up, not just kids, you get elders and that really look up to you. And, you know, if you do play up in there, and they tend to remind you about it. So, yeah.
I bet. The Broncos, the Dragons, the Sharks were all interested in the young Matty Bowen. Why the Cowboys and why not the other clubs? What pushed you to sign with North Queensland?
Family, mate.
Family. Was that easy?
Yeah. Wasn't a hard decision, I think. Mum and Dad would drive 9 hours, 10 hours of a weekend just to watch me play. And,
wow.
You know, Mum's a teacher.
Is she?
Yeah, so she's – and Dad was just on the property, and, mate, she'd finish school on a Friday afternoon at 2:30, 3 o'clock. She'd go home to the property and pack the car up and drive home and drive down to Townsville and get there 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning and, you know, have a sleep for a couple of hours, come watch my game. Go back to bed and leave at, you know, 8, 9 o'clock on Sunday. Get back for school on Monday, and that sort of that made my decision a lot easier when I, you know, when contract time come around, and it was pretty easy. So, you know, Mum and Dad got to watch me play every second weekend.
That's brilliant. Arriving from Hope Vale to the Cowboys, you came down, I've been told, by your old trainer, Billy Johnston, who I have done one of these Legend Series interviews with. You came down with a bag of clothes and some food. The food, according to your old trainer, was a dugong, the old sea cow. Is that right?
Bill will tell the story. Yes. You know, obviously, Mum and Dad will come down every second weekend. As I said, I think, you know, they'd bring a few little... you know, delicacies, and dugong was one of them. So, but it, mate, obviously that's a part of growing up in a community that you can take the boy out of the community, but you can't take the community out of the boy. And that's Bill, you know, sort of respected that, and even though he made fun of it, but he was pretty respectful. So, and Bill was a great part of my footy career, and you know, keeping me on track at times when I tend to eat no good, and so all that stuff. So Bill was a big part of that.
Good bloke for a young kid to run into, Bill Johnston, as tough as they come. And he won't like me saying this, but he's got a very sensitive, sympathetic side to him, and he really cares about making an impression on the young blokes.
Mate, definitely. I think if you respected him, he respected you. And, yep, you know, no doubt when players come to the club, they got trained pretty hard. And Bill was one of them, mate. He called me the golden child. So, Bill was I still keep in contact with him now on a regular basis, and he's one of those guys I really looked up to. And as I said, if you respected him, he respected you. So he was pretty good.
Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pirtek Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds are donated to Pirtek's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pirtekfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference, just like Pirtek does. Your debut game, round one, 2001, mid-February in Townsville 2, Cowboys Broncos, and you guessed it, it was a one-point game. To the Broncos, what do you remember of that experience?
Mate, what I remember that experience, I was sitting on, I would come off the bench, I think, that game. And just sitting there, as I said, I was, watching the Broncos play on TV, and you see guys like Wendell Saylor, Darren Lockyer, Andrew G, you got Gordon Tallis.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there on the sideline, you're watching them play firsthand, and you get to think, at any stage of this game, I'm going on soon. Yeah. So, you go on and made a tackle on Wendell Saylor, and I think, mate, it was just something special that, I won't forget. And obviously to lose that game by one that night, and it was something special. So for me, growing up as a Broncos fan or watching, want to play for the Broncos, and then you play your first game against the Broncos at home, and it is something special and something I won't forget.
There are not too many industries in the world where you can idolise someone and then end up working alongside them. I reckon that is super cool.
It is super cool, mate. To be honest, I think just to obviously be a part of that game, and as I said, you watch these guys of a young age and coming through, and you said, I really want to be like them one day and do everything I can to be in that stage, and to finally do it is something special and something that you won't forget.
Four games off the bench, your first starting game was at 5/8. Is that where you wanted to play, or were you already looking at the number one jersey?
No, to be honest, mate, I always wanted to play in the halves. I think I was all my juniors, I wanted to play halves, and I did. And I think not until Timmy Brasher got hurt, I think.
That's right.
He got injured at fullback, and one of the coaches said, we'll put you at fullback and there's more room for you to move. And you obviously put it, good on your feet and just put your back away from the defence and away from the pressure. And I think, so I think it ended up well, probably. Mm-hmm. I think so. I ended up staying there, and so I enjoyed it. Obviously, you give a bit of freedom behind, and catching the ball in the full and doing whatnot. So it was pretty good.
Tim Sheens, grumpy old bastard, but actually a really decent guy. Was he good for you?
Definitely, mate. Obviously, Sheens, he obviously loves to give young people a crack. Young kids coming through. You see, with Benjamin Marshall at a tender age, I think, 17, and but I think for having a coach like that to have full faith in someone, like I was only 17 turning 18, I think. And then, to have faith in someone that young, and so it must've been, have something special to be called into the team and Sheensy was a part of that. So, you know, I'm forever grateful.
Tim Sheens, Murray Hurst, Graham Murray, Ian Millwood and Neil Henry, five coaches you had at the club, all similar or all very different?
All very different, I think. I didn't play under Ian Millwood. I was training there. I was injured at the time.
And, okay.
But he was, you know, Basil was pretty good. He was as an assistant, Neil Henry as assistant, and then when he came as a head coach, he was pretty good.
Yep.
A lot of respect for him. Obviously, Graham Murray was, sort of different again.
Yeah.
And then Sheensy was my first coach. I don't really, you know, he was, yeah, I think yeah, coming from that old school.
Very much.
Footy, and for me to obviously be part of that was something special. And then this, but they're all sort of different coaches. And
Matty, it didn't matter who the coach was, you always, well, most times, looked like you were just having fun. Is it important to keep the fun element even though you're a paid professional?
Definitely, man. I think, you know, that's why we play rugby league. We're playing a team sport to play alongside your teammates. And, mate, if you're not having fun, you obviously shouldn't be there. You know, I know we all want to win and, you know, all competitive. But, you know, that shows if you're having fun, you're enjoying your footy and you obviously tend to play your best footy when you're enjoying it. Yeah, so having fun was be the main thing.
Mentioned that you debuted in 01. You would go on to the grand final in 05, which we will talk about. There was a slow progression up the ladder. It was frustrating to start with, no doubt, but there was something there, and I think we all saw it.
It was frustrating, to be honest, mate. I think, you know, we sort of didn't have a winning culture. Is one of those weeks or years, I think from 01 to 03, where we thought, oh, who are we playing this weekend? Are we going to get pumped this weekend? Mm. Who are we playing this weekend? Oh, you know, we could be a chance this weekend. And then, you know, 04 come around and then we sort of bought new players and we can start to believe in ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I think we started well in 04. I think we won first six. And we sort of, you know, had that belief. We had young local talent that come through and, you know, wanted to play for the Cowboys, and when we had the chance to do it, it was, so it was a changing period in 04, and then obviously Bowen Jono come to the club and back in 04 and 05 season. So,
what changed when Jono arrived? I mean, results changed, but what was it about him?
I think we were not sort of lacking a half. It was just that competitiveness. I think you know, Jono come from winning culture. He just, you know, off the back of, you know, Dogs winning in 04 and he sort of brought that drive at the start of 05 season, and yeah, it was unreal that we sort of got him and then got some other players and then, you know, had that dream run, and it was pretty good. So and that's when sort of things changed for the Cowboys, for the supporters, for the community, and people travel, you know, far and wide to come to watch Cowboys play and obviously give them something to cheer about.
What was it about the two of you together that you made it look easy, you made it look fun, and you embarrassed defensive lines for years and years? What was it about the two of you?
Obviously understanding one another. We wasn't there to, you know, take the shine off someone else. And I know we train for it. We do a lot of fitness games. We do a lot of stuff within drills and stuff. And but it just shows in the field that we, you know, sort of work together. And as I said, we build a, you know, pretty good combination. And it's still hard to believe that we were that combination. But it's obviously, you know, we worked hard for it.
Early days, you spoke about frustrations. Jono used to show his frustrations big time. There were blow-ups on the field. Yep. And he looks back now and says, I'm embarrassed about some of them. I never meant to get nasty with my teammates, but I just didn't know how to, you know, vent it. You ever on the end of a JT blow-up?
A fair few, mate. I was literally just talking to my son the other week, and, you know, vice versa. I think when you demand the ball and you think that you should have got the ball, then you let the other teammates know, you know, what happens on the field stays in the field. Yeah. And, mate, me and John had a couple of blues on the field, and, you know, there's a couple of words that you obviously you encourage to get the ball and but mate, obviously we learned to how to play with one another and how to cop that, and then once you're off the field, it stays on the field. So so I think Jono, what you see on the field, that's what you see in the training paddock. So
is it really?
Yeah. So he's very competitive. He always wants to win. If you're playing a game of table tennis, if you're playing the game day cricket, Jono's always carrying on and always wants to win. So, but that's no different on the field.
The 2005 grand final to represent the club in their first one. Very cool.
Yeah, obviously, we didn't obviously get the chocolates at the end of it, but mate, it's, as I said, what the club been through over the last couple of years. Yeah. Before that, in 04, we just unlucky, in the major semi to play in that GF. And, but in 05, we had a dream run. We had, as I said, Jono come to the club and a few others. And yeah, it just wasn't our night. I think, we, sort of made a couple of bad errors in that game and just sort of, couldn't reel it in by then. And, Benji had a wonderful night and
yeah.
With that famous flick pass. And but, mate, it was good to see for the community.
41 metres out, good tackle that, upended him, put him on his back. Thurston, right foot kick, down the ground, into the in-goal almost. Hodgson cuts it off. Hodgson taken by Norton. He took him late. Marshall skips away. Marshall's still going. Marshall's got Richards coming up outside. Now inside. Richards pursued. He pushes Jensen away. Pat Richards has scored. A magnificent try. Link of the field stuff.
A 98-metre grand final try. Was that a flick pass from Marshall?
At the end, yeah.
Oh, stop it. I mean, who tries that? Who does that?
Did you realise how important it was for the community? Even though you lost, Townsville was pumping, North Queensland was pumping because of you guys.
Mate, definitely. We left. We did obviously the bus tour through the city of Townsville and through the regions. And mate, the amount of support that we got, not just leading up to that grand final, but leading up to the semi-final games, would come home. The airport will be, be packed, and then after the grand final, they still were there. So, it was great to see, mate. I think it still gives goosebumps today that thinking about that, how close we were. And but as I said, we don't know how much the community or the outer regions and how far people travel far and wide, how much it means to them. And that's why we play rugby league, and that's why we play for the North Queensland Cowboys, and not just the Townsville Cowboys, but the North Queensland or far North Queensland Cowboys. So it is pretty good to see that we got that far, but it wasn't meant to be.
The best footy talk and live talk there is. I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Legend Series. The Rugby League Superpod comes out later in the week, and the Dream Team Series on the weekend. 4 podcasts every week in season on the only podcast that talks with the biggest names, not about them. Make sure you come back soon. Legends.